Hi, good morning. Thanks for listening to the Donna and Steve show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. All right, it's her first TV interview since leaving NBC in 2015, and Ann Curry told CBS This Morning about the organization's climate of verbal harassment, but in the most frustrating way.
Okay, so she's got a new show coming out on PBS, so she's going to be making the rounds. You might be seeing a little bit more of Ann Curry in the coming days. And, of course, Norah O'Donnell and Gayle King, they had a lot to ask her. They'll get to the PBS show if you care. We personally didn't. We just wanted to know how she would respond to all of the changes that have happened. But she was trying to be very delicate about everything.
You believe that Matt Lauer abused his power?
You know, I'm trying to do no harm in these conversations.
She meant no harm.
I can tell you that I am not surprised by the allegations.
What do you mean by that, Ann? What do you mean that you're not surprised?
Because
you had heard things, you knew things. What does that mean?
That means that
good follow up.
Now I'm walking down that road. I'm trying not to hurt people, and I know what it's like to be publicly humiliated. I never did anything wrong to be publicly humiliated, and I don't want to cause that kind of pain to somebody else. But I can say that. Because you're asking me a very direct question, I can say that I would be surprised if many women did not understand that there was a climate of verbal harassment that existed. I think it would be surprising if someone said that they didn't see that. Mm-hmm. So. It was verbal sexual.
All right, let me stick with the
sorry. She just said verbal sexual harassment was pervasive.
Yeah.
At NBC at the time when you were there.
You know, I don't want to cause more pain, but no, I'm you were asking me a very direct question. I'm an honest person. I want to tell you that it was, yes, period.
Okay. What? Should have just said that in the
first
place.
We got there. Ann was trying to be very delicate. As she said, she misspoke, said, I'm trying to cause harm. She meant I'm trying to cause no harm.
Right.
No harm in this. Now, Donna had an interesting reaction as we were listening to this earlier this morning.
I don't remember.
What did it make you feel? Happy? Sad? Frustrated?
Frustrated.
Irritated. Angry?
A little
mad.
Angry. Yeah, like you're on a press tour. What do you think people want to know right now?
Right.
They want to know about how it came that you were asked to leave NBC. Did Matt Lauer have anything to do with it? Was Matt Lauer giving you signs that he was a perv?
Sure. So they.
The answer is yes. That's what she's saying without saying it.
It took her a little while. She finally came around to it. And I thought that Gayle and Norah, again, both
great
did a good job.
Great job.
And Norah even stopping Gayle at one point saying, hang on, because we were just sort of speaking over when she just said this.
Yes.
That this sort of behavior was kind of pervasive at NBC at the time that Ann Curry was there. So then they ask her, remember, Ann Curry did host the Today Show for a brief period of time after Meredith Vieira vacated her seat.
Right.
And she co-hosted alongside Matt Lauer. You might remember the final time that she was on the Today Show. And they were all on the semicircular couch.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor, widespread at that point, was that Matt Lauer had said, hey, I don't like Ann Curry. Let's get her out of here. She is not the right fit. He awkwardly side-hugged her and kissed her on the head, and she looked like she was getting a kiss on the head, like anyone would look if they were getting kissed on the head by someone that they just didn't like.
Yeah, yeah,
let
she looked like, yeah, she was just like, ugh,
so,
get off me.
That was their follow-up question was, essentially, do you think that Matt Lauer was behind your exit from the Today Show? And here's what she had to say.
People thought that Matt Lauer was behind you leaving the Today Show. I'd like to know what you feel about that. We've never talked about this, and I've always wondered. Your last day was very emotional. It was very difficult for you, clearly. And I don't want to upset you here again, either.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to start crying.
Okay. But do you believe that he was behind
you? You should ask someone else. I'm not the one to ask about that.
You're the only one to ask.
No, because I don't know what was all behind it. I do know that it hurt like hell. It wasn't a fun moment. I've learned a great deal about myself. I've really, at this point, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I've just let it go, and I think that it's time to. It's been years, and I want to sort of really move on from that. I mean, it's a
You know, at this point, I'm thinking Hakuna Matata. You know, it's just sort of over. But no, I think that the real question, in my view, is what are we going to do with all of this anger? And it's not just obviously about where I used to work. It's not about where you're now working. But it's about the problem that's pervasive across industries, in workplaces across America. And this is actually the issue. And the question is, ultimately, what are we going to do about it? And I wonder if we keep focusing only on these individual scandals, if we're actually going to move off of that foot into creating something better in the future.
Now, you might notice Ann Curry, in that answer, a bit long-winded at times, referenced two iconic Disney songs.
Yes, she did.
And I thought, kudos to you. First, she said, I just need to let it go. You got to let it go.
And
immediately, all I think about, having seen that movie 8,000 times, is Frozen. Let It Go by the one and only Idina Menzel, a.k.a. Adele Dazeem. Hashtag Travolta.
And then
she pivots. She pivots and says, wait a second. I've seen them all. She drops Hakuna Matata by the end of that. I mean,
why?
It was just—it was a real powerhouse performance.
It was good.
There,
it was good.
Saying you want me to say something controversial, I'm going to drop a couple of Disney songs that just by the mere mention of their title, is going to get you thinking something else. I started thinking about The Lion King and Frozen. Way to go, Ann Curry.
It's
a long
build-up.
There's a long build-up.
Never mind.
They make you earn it. There it is.
So I feel like. The question was, do you believe that Matt Lauer had something to do with your departure from the Today Show?
Right.
And then she went on to say, well, that's not a question to ask me. Yes, it is. Like Gail said, you are the only person to ask because I'm asking if you believe that.
Correct.
Do you think that? And she just was not having it. And then, you know, let's not focus on me or these individuals. Let's look at the bigger picture.
Journalists are tough to pin down. And again, I think that Gail and Nora did a nice job because they're used to asking questions, so they know the tactics.
Yes.
Anne knew, though she may have acted faux surprise there, she knew how the interview was going to start. Guess what? The footnote of that is, and by the way, she's got a new show on PBS.
Exactly.
That's
the
it.
End.
But she did a nice job of trying to avoid saying anything controversial. And like I said, I give her a standing ovation for working in Let It Go and Hakuna Matata.
I do too.
Was really, that was a left field
five berries,
one.
Definitely.
Left field. Way to go, Ann Curry. Welcome back to television.
And by the way, she didn't have any chemistry with Matt Lauer.
No, she didn't. They made
she
the
really
absolute
didn't.
Right choice there.
Yeah, they did, but it's just the way they handled it. I think that was the big thing. I'd like her to write a book.
Oh, I'll pass on that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to.
I'd rather read her book than listen to her talk.
No, great. If you want to get caught up on any of that kind of drama, just read Top of the Morning. If you enjoy the landscape of morning television, it breaks down all the drama behind the Today Show, Good Morning America, and CBS This Morning.
Perfect.
And it's really, really interesting. It will feel outdated now because of all of the stuff that has changed. I'm sure they have a second book that is already in the works, but it's pretty fun.
Can I borrow your copy?
Absolutely not.
Okay, thank you. When we come back, we are going to talk about things that make you go,
I didn't know that.
We'll have some of those for you coming up. You want to give a little sample?
Boy, the one sound that cows hate will shock you.
Huh. All right, we'll get to that coming up next on My Talk 107.1. Steve is obsessed with random facts, a.k.a. things that make you go, huh.
We got a few. Got a few for you here, my friends. Could you immediately kill that Ed Sheeran song? God, is he the worst.
You stop it.
Hate him. I
Ed
never want to hear that song
amazing.
Again. We want to play a song that sucks the life out of your Wednesday. You just heard it, my friends.
Yeah, I'm sick of that one.
I could listen to it every day over and over.
Whatever.
Well, I think you do already.
Yeah, we do.
I
mean,
sort of,
kill it. All right, here we go. Things that make you go, huh? All right? Cows hate the sound of, do you have a guess?
Moo.
This is shocking.
Milk getting squirted into a bottle.
Okay.
Or a bucket.
Yeah, either. By the way, those both sounded creepy from you, Ryan.
Sorry.
Crunching.
Cows hate the sound of a cowbell.
Oh.
Well, then what's the point?
Then why do they have it?
Great question.
Thank you.
It hurts their sensitive ears.
Oh.
So if you have a cow and you're playing that song by Blue Oyster Cult, more cowbell, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Stop. Stop. It's hurting their ears. And if you're making them wear a cowbell, all the worse.
Why? Okay, I want to know why cows do wear cowbells. I know there's not supposed to be any follow-up questions, yeah, but that is my question.
These are frowned upon. I don't know. Okay. I just know that they hate the sound of it, and they have very sensitive ears, and you need to be mindful of that.
If we have any farmers who can actually...
Hear the cowbell?
It's in the here background.
There you go.
Confirm this. Please call us 651-641-1071. Okay, onward.
Here we go. Let's go to sports. Mm. Instant replay. Here's a Winter Olympics fact for you to share at your Winter Olympics viewing party this February. Instant replay started at the 1960 Winter Olympics in Squaw Valley, California. Here's what happened. Judges asked CBS if they could review the tape of an event to see if a skier had missed a gate on the slalom. Boy, is that hard to understand.
Slalom.
Keep slapping them down.
Yeah.
And that gave CBS the idea to show replays in sporting events. Instant replay started back in 1960.
Well, that's
a
long time.
Goodness for that, yeah.
Now, friends, let's go anatomical.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh.
Things that make you go, this is interesting. Approximately one out of every 18 people has a third nipple.
Don't say that word.
One out of nurple?
Okay, you can
I'll say nurple. Approximately one out of every 18 people has a third nurple. Where is the third nurple most likely to grow? Is it somewhere on the upper torso, I should hope?
I think it's near, yes.
Like a chicken beak grown out of their heel?
That is correct. I am going to tell you some celebrities who have third nerps.
Okay.
Bill Paxton.
Dearly departed.
Lily Allen. Oh, I know. Joanna Krupa. Harry Styles. Carrie Underwood. Tilda Swinton. How do you say her name?
Tilda Swinton. Yeah.
Did I say Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Mark Wahlberg. In fact, you could see it.
No. What are you talking about? Where is it? On his shoulder?
It's under his normal one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He appears without his shirt a lot.
Yeah.
And he made $68 million last year, highest paid actor in Hollywood. How did he not get a third nipple removed?
I don't know. No follow-up questions. I'll show it to you later.
So I don't know how we got into nipples. I was on the phone with someone very knowledgeable
about
cowbells.
All right, let's go back to cowbells. Again, these are things that make you go, huh? And the first one was that cows hate the sound of cowbells. Let's turn to our resident farmer.
Well, this person was very knowledgeable about cattle.
Okay.
And he relayed the message to me that cows wore cowbells in order to track them down because apparently when they have calves, they like to protect them and go into hiding. So when, you know, it's dark out, you got to have your lantern out or something. You got to hear where your cow is. I mean, that's your bread and butter right there. So
it's truly to find the cows.
Basically to find the cows.
Literally your butter.
Okay.
Bread and butter. Yeah.
All right. This is a great one. The Starbucks at CIA headquarters does not write people's names on the coffee cups to protect their identities.
Is that true?
This is true.
That's good.
This is all true. These are things that make you go, huh? I didn't even know they had a Starbucks at CIA headquarters.
Do you, either of you two have a fake go-to name?
Yeah, Bianca.
No, that's a lie. You're lying right now. She lied. No, I don't. I'm a straightforward kind of guy, you know? I just say put down Stevie Boy.
Sometimes I'll say D.
D-Bone?
D.
Or D-Bone.
Do you still go by D-Bone? I know you did a few years back when you were in between jobs, right?
I did, so nobody knew it was me.
That's right, yeah.
I could audition.
Under the radar. Instant coffee was invented by a guy named...
No.
Think of the most famous name in America, in American history.
Brian.
George Washington.
Brian.
How'd you do in U.S. history, Donna?
Not good.
George Washington. Not that George Washington, but another George Washington came to America from Belgium in the late 1800s and started manufacturing instant coffee in 1910. How about that? Things that make you, huh?
Huh.
Huh. I don't know. Again, let me be very clear about this segment and what it's going to be moving forward. These are not things that will make you go, whoa, what? Wait, I have to tell someone.
Or,
No, it's just, That's the ideal response that we're looking for. About a 6 out of 10.
You got one more for us?
I got one more.
Oh, hit us up.
This is good for your Halloween plans. It's a federal crime for someone who is not a postal worker to wear a U.S. Postal Service uniform. Unless you are, hear me out. Unless you're acting in a play, a TV show, or a movie, a Halloween costume is not a good enough excuse. You can get a fine or 6 months in prison, trick or treat.
How do you think Cliff Clavin did wearing that uniform?
He did fine because he was acting in a TV show.
A TV show is okay.
Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
Okay.
He was fine, but no, nobody else. There you go.
All right, thanks,
Steve. Things to make you go, huh?
Interesting. Thank you.
Big Mr. Rogers news coming up after the break.
And something I just realized about Mr. Rogers that I never, ever, ever felt before.
And it's kind of ruining my childhood. Plus, I'll read you a letter that Mr. Rogers actually wrote to me.
Ah, I can't wait. All right, we're going to hit the couch when we come right back on My Talk 107.1. Everything Entertainment. Good news for Mr. Rogers fans. The Sundance Film Festival is going to be debuting a new documentary about Mr. Rogers. Steve Patterson, you must be very excited.
This is fantastic news. I'm just thrilled at this.
Okay, you want to know what I just realized about Mr. Rogers?
Do tell.
He was kind of hot.
Okay.
He was kind of like he had these blue eyes and these pretty lips.
Don't.
He was tall and dark and handsome. No. Never, ever did I think that about Mr. But probably because I was a kid and he was old. And now that I'm old, I'm like, wow, he's kind of hot. He is.
He's a handsome fellow. I showed you a clip of him talking before Congress when he was fighting for federal funding for national public television.
Yes.
He got it, by the way.
Yes, he did.
$20 million.
He killed it.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a hard-nosed congressman who was like, go ahead, Rogers, you got the floor.
Yeah.
And then at the end he said, you got all the $20 million that you wanted.
No, I think it's wonderful.
I love this. I love you.
Yeah,
so what's the deal with this new documentary? I want to see it immediately.
I know it's going to be Sundance debuting really soon. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor? It's aimed at exploring the history and legacy of Fred Rogers and his sweet TV show that you love so much.
Oh, gosh. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was shot in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. And I got to visit
the set.
I got to actually go to the set.
Steve, you told me that before the show. And you're like, did you know that Mr. Rogers was shot in Pittsburgh? I was like, oh my God, is he okay? Like, what happened?
It really rocked him.
I was traumatized for a moment.
I don't even know.
He got shot in Pittsburgh.
The TV show was shot in Pittsburgh.
Is that what he wore? A sweater? He was covering all his wounds? Oh my goodness.
You know, he died back in 2003.
Yeah,
my college roommate came in and said, did you hear? I said, don't say it. Mr. Rogers died.
Oh,
I think he was only in his 70s too. Yeah.
That's
anyways,
really
do we have any
sad.
Sound from the from the new documentary?
We do.
Wonderful.
I had a director that once said to me, "You take all of the elements that make good television, and do the exact opposite. You have Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Low production values, simple set, unlikely star. Yet it worked because he was saying something really important."
Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all parenting, all relationships. Love or the lack of it. And what we see and hear on the screen is part of who we become.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to.
He's so soothing.
See that. Oh, he's so soothing.
Oh, I want to take a nap.
I'll tell you what he did, and then I'm going to read you a letter that he wrote to me.
Okay.
But what he did differently, he thought that that day and age, think back to when this show back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, Looney Tunes was everywhere. It was, and I love Bugs Bunny and all that sort of stuff, but it's people hammering each other and chasing each other and the Wile E. Coyote and the Road Runner.
Yes.
And he thought kids are being bombarded with all of this over the top stuff.
Yeah.
And instead, what if we had a show where we just spoke to them respectfully, not like they were kids, not hands down on the knees. Hi, Billy.
Right.
Welcome. Instead, he just spoke to them normally, like he would speak to anybody. And it was a way of restoring dignity is what he wanted to do to children. And it was just so decidedly different from just from everything else. It's now today, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. Parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about. Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is on PBS.
Okay.
And it is based on the work of Fred Rogers. And Daniel Tiger, you might remember from Mr. Rogers, was one of the characters in the neighborhood of Make Believe. He lived in the clock tower. So now it's all about Daniel Tiger and his family. But I will say this, it's animated. So it's different in many ways, but of all the shows that my kids watch, and they watch a bunch on Disney, on Nick, on PBS, it is that show that actually teaches them lessons because they have these songs of these lessons that they just want to drive into your head once, one an episode. Now, this takes you back. Come on, just hearing that, you immediately go back to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And did you know they had a live pianist who was playing the piano during the show?
Did
yes.
not know that. That's a fun fact.
Which is why they could always time it out. Remember when Mr. Rogers would come in? That's being played live. And when he would come in and he would start singing It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, he always was in time because the pianist was watching him and knew if he needed to slow it down a little bit, he could.
Oh, God, I'm going to cry.
Feels so good, doesn't it?
It does
so
feel
Daniel's
good.
So Daniel's Tiger Neighborhood lives on. Quick Patterson story.
Okay.
My parents saw Mr. Rogers once in New York City at the airport. They had been in New York City. They had watched Live with Regis and Kathy Lee at the time.
Okay.
And Mr. Rogers was a guest. And so they were both flying. My parents were flying back to Pittsburgh. Mr. Rogers was flying back. And they said, hey, we were at Live with Regis and Kathy Lee this morning. We saw you. Mr. Rogers was wonderful with them, chatted, and took a picture with them. So I was thrilled at this. They told me we met Mr. Rogers, showed me a picture. I could not believe it. I wrote him a letter. I was 15, and I had just stumbled on the show again that summer and thought, oh my goodness, I wanted to be in broadcasting. And I thought, man, he has got such a special way of breaking through the screen, and I feel like he's in this room talking to me right now. So I had this newfound nostalgic
you
fascination
sound like him a little.
With Mr. Rogers. So I wrote him a letter saying, hey, I want to intern for you. Are you okay. still shooting new episodes? I think they were still shooting some. Can I intern?
That's very resourceful, especially because you live in the area. There's a TV show. I mean, most television, unless it's local, is elsewhere.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. February 2000.
He's actually holding the letter,
I'm holding it. Letterhead, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. No, it does not say, dear neighbor. This is not the standard reply to weird 15-year-old kids. Dear Steve, says Mr. Rogers, it was such a pleasure getting to know your family from your letter and from the photographs that you sent. I was trying to jog his memory. I'm glad you wanted to write me after I met your parents at the LaGuardia Airport a few weeks ago. See, he's using these specific things to make sure I know.
They
had so many good things to say about you and your brothers and sister. That's correct. And I can well understand their pride from the thoughtful and caring things you said in your letter to me and from those photos. It was interesting to read about your memories of watching our neighborhood programs when you were growing up. Isn't that so nice? And it was especially touching to know you've come to a new appreciation for our work since you've watched this summer and learned more about our work. I'm truly grateful for your support for what we're offering through our work. I think a lot of our television work, he thinks of it as a ministry. He was a Christian. He was a minister, also a Presbyterian minister. So he thought of it as a ministry as well.
Sure.
He says it was very kind of you to offer to help us when we're in production. We produce only 2 to 3 new weeks of neighborhood programs that we add into the series each season. So we aren't in the studio that much, but we certainly will keep your offer in mind, and I'll pass your letter on to our producer, Margie Whitmer. Give my warmest regards to your parents and to the others in your family. Best wishes to you, Steve, for all that you do. Sincerely, signed Fred Rogers. He also sent a book called You Are Special. And it was,
I believe in you.
And, dear Steve, kindest personal regards from your lifelong neighbor, Fred Rogers.
Okay, that's lovely.
Right. I mean,
that's
that great?
Really sweet.
I have questions.
Please, follow-ups are welcome.
It's handwritten?
Handwritten. No, the letter is typed.
Can I see that? Can you just face it towards me?
Okay, so? The stationery.
Whoa.
What's the stationery like?
A Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Letterhead, Family Communications, Inc., 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, 15123.
Wow.
There was also a number.
That's a really long letter.
Yeah, it is. Isn't that so wonderful?
He really took the time to respond to you. That's amazing.
Incidentally, one of these years when I go back every Christmas to Pittsburgh, I've wanted to sit down and interview Mr. McFeely. You remember Mr. McFeely, right?
No. Sounds like a perv. What?
I guess I never broke the name down like that because I don't view life as cynically
crushing
as you do.
Steve's childhood.
Dark soul.
One day at a time.
Mr. McFeely was the delivery man. Speedy delivery. Did you remember that? Speedy delivery, Mr. McFeely?
Not really, no.
Gosh.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, he's still alive.
That's fantastic.
Can't wait for the documentary.
I
will absolutely not watch it with you. You now view Fred Rogers as a sex symbol, and it destroys my view of you, Donna Valentine.
He was kind of attractive, I have to say.
You were watching earlier, and you said, look in his lips. Look at his lips. I said, don't look at his lips. Don't you look at Mr. Rogers' lips. You
and then
know.
I said, I did that.
Oh, gosh.
Steve, take a pic. Will you take a picture of that letter and or the picture of your parents?
I'll post it up on our Instagram.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
Go to the Donna Steve Show, by the way. Our constant fight to get more Instagram followers. When it was Donna and Marley, frankly, friends, it was embarrassing. There was a time when it was just a few hundred folks. Now, it's over 1,100, Donna. Things are moving and grooving, and we'd like to get to 1,200 by the end of the day. Go to Instagram, Donna Steve Show. Otherwise, let's shut it down.
We'll let you know when we get a release date on that Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor documentary, because it hasn't even debuted yet at Sundance. So we'll keep you posted on that. All righty then. When we come back, let's all go to the men's room, shall we?
Love to.
Got some stories that have to do with men and something that we wish as women you would stop doing with our skincare products. So we'll get to all of that coming up next on My Talk 107.1. Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for listening to My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment, with Donna and Steve. Steve, you're wearing makeup today. That is the first question before we hit the men's room.
I'm going out right after this, yeah. Wearing makeup today.
Are you wearing makeup right now?
Yeah. I can just right out of here.
Do you apply yourself?
Yeah.
Do you do it in the men's room where we are right now? Thank you.
Actually, no, I do it in the makeup room. We have a little makeup room.
Oh, yeah.
Just got a lot of bright bulbs. There's nothing fun about the room. It's just a ton of bright lights.
So you got here today. Mm-hmm. You went to the makeup room. You applied makeup.
I think I did it in my dressing room.
Huh. You hit your dressing room before you even, like...
I walk... Pat, listen. Okay, here we go, disgruntled radio lady. I walk in a door and I walk past the dressing room that also sounds much more glamorous than it is. That's where I put my stuff down. Anything that I'm carrying in, like car keys, should be in. Oh no, car keys are right here.
Okay, got it.
Oh, the keys. Right.
Thank you for the sound effect.
Right, I was just looking for confirmation. and then you hit it up with some pow-pow real quick, fresh pow-pow powder.
All right,
Mac.
Do you wear this when you're not working? I am going somewhere with this because men are wearing makeup more than ever before.
I believe, listen, I have long said that I would like to endorse a line of men's makeup. I think that men need to understand that it's okay if you're going out with this big old blemish on your face. You don't feel good about it. The person that you're with, be it buddies or a date, doesn't feel good about looking at it. Just hit it with a little. It's similar to Clearasil had a
tinted,
a tinted thing that you could put on.
Sure.
I think that it's, yes, you should do that. And then here's the problem. No, no, no. Let me just quickly say, I get it. This is a problem. When you wear makeup, then, like for your job, then you become more aware of redness in your skin, darkness under your eyes, etc. So like if I'm going out on a date with my lady, I'm thinking, well, she just
who's about to break up with you?
She just hit a little pow pow real quick.
Okay.
Judgments?
Yeah, I got a lot of them. You should. I love people more when they embrace their true selves. You know, a little makeup. Yeah, I can understand it every now and then. If it's your own choice, I don't want people to feel like they need to wear makeup.
Slippery slope, though, there, Ryan. And I hear where you're coming from, but I have made that judgment about people before when it comes to plastic surgery and things like that. And then I thought, well, who am I to, I'm whitening my teeth. I want to whiten my teeth with Crest White Strips.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the same pursuit of vanity? And Ryan, what I would say to you
manicures.
Is you should feel good as yourself. Why even do your hair in the morning? Just be you, man. You don't have to do your hair to impress anybody.
I don't do
it
my
is
hair.
A slippery slope.
That is bullcrap.
He's got some unbelievable flow.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That, I think that's a really good point, Steve. Well, male grooming is a multi-billion-dollar worldwide industry, and it's expected to grow because men are continuing to spend money on stuff like, you know, face wash and hair removal products and things like that. But guys are also wearing makeup. I have to tell you, in the last month, I have seen three guys.
Really?
At different locations wearing mascara.
No.
Eyeshadow.
Oh boy, that's a lot.
Nail polish.
Were these locations drag shows or where were you?
No, I was at Ulta and makeup type places where there are men who are working there.
Well, that's
but have you
expected.
Seen a dude at a bar sporting a little cover up? Which I think
haven't noticed. Okay. I don't think I've noticed.
Well, if you're doing a good enough job, fellas, they won't notice.
Right.
So
exactly.
My only, I dipped my toe into this because, again, the lady friend, she likes to take care of the way I look.
Mm-hmm.
She bought me this eyebrow filler.
Oh, interesting.
So,
wow, that's interesting.
So, if we're going out to a fancy place,
you'll fill your brows.
I have filled my brows.
I can't judge you, Ryan, because I'll hit up some powder or some concealer if there's a blemish.
That's it, though.
Yeah, I get it.
I will go out with a zit. I don't give a patoot about that.
You
but
should.
But I will fill my eyebrows if we're going somewhere nice and classy.
I don't think you need to fill your eyebrows. That's not normally a male problem.
Well, it's a female problem.
You know, we have a makeup artist who comes on Twin Cities Live. Her name is Julie Martin, and she routinely says, ladies, brows are the first thing you should be putting on.
Because
they
frame your whole face.
Yeah, you're darn tootin'.
Yeah,
for women, but a lot of times why we need the filler is because we've overplucked in our lives.
It's
guys,
a vicious cycle.
I think what you need is to go to Waxing the City and get your brows waxed and shaped.
See, I take I just take a razor so I don't get the unibrow, and that's it.
You know, I also have to now say routinely when I get my hair cut, I have to tell them, I need you to hit up my brows because I got some rogue ones that are really growing in pretty aggressively now. And they always, and this is a real humbler, they always have to take the clippers to the to my ears. Not the inside of my ears, the outer
ear. Just the little
ear.
Fuzzies on the outside?
My fuzzies aren't just little fuzzies. They can grow long. I put them in dreads one summer. Just knotted them all up.
Got to take care of yourselves,
and
guys.
And if you're backlit in the wrong space, they're really apparent for me.
Okay, that might be a little too much information, but thank you.
You're welcome.
I have to say that I really think a reason that this is becoming a bigger deal with the makeup, not just covering up blemishes, is there are so many darn pictures out there right now. Social media, off the charts. Everybody's taking selfies.
And it's in high def.
It's in high def.
They used to be blurry, and they used to be Polaroids.
Yes.
And they're
let's bring
very
that
clear.
Back.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday on Twin Cities Live.
I want to see the Bigfoot, you know, that blurry picture of Bigfoot walking through the woods.
The vest, doing the vest.
Yes, more of that.
Yeah. Mid stride.
Make you feel like you need a new pair of glasses.
Everybody said they wanted high definition television, and then it's like, do we?
We can't go back.
No. Okay. However, I want to let you guys know that there is high definition makeup foundation.
Oh, God. Yes.
That you can get. Is that what you're using?
No.
You should be using just like a tint or
I'm wearing
a moisturizer.
Thank you for asking. MAC NW30 Studio Fix Powder. And NW25 is my concealer. You know, you go a little lighter with the concealer. And friends, don't forget, always start right underneath the eyes. Everybody's got some darkness there.
Yep.
Once you start in the inner crease of your eye and work your way out, you're going to wake your face right up.
Thank you.
Wow.
Now, one other thing that I just want to, as a companion piece to this story about guys wearing more makeup, is stop using our stuff.
But you want us to look better, and you want us to take better care of ourselves, and you already have the stuff.
Yeah, this is the problem here. You get us all started and worked up, and then we need to borrow something, then we get in trouble.
You get your own stuff, and I'll tell you why you shouldn't be using it, because it's expensive.
Oh.
A little thing of serum.
Serum.
Can cost like $60, a teeny little thing. So I was reading this woman's Twitter feed yesterday, and she was going off on her boyfriend, where she said, she saw him using it, and she was like, it's okay, but please be very sparing with that because it's so expensive. Then she saw him using her moisturizer on his hands.
Oh.
That's a large area for something that is that expensive. So be careful with
we
that.
We generally don't know, the amount. That's true. We don't. It always feels like we should get a full squirt out of it.
Yes.
And in reality, sometimes they just say, apply the, it should be the size of a dime.
Correct.
Or a pea.
And thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, all right. While we're here in the men's room, Spike, you were telling me that Spike TV is going bye-bye.
Yeah, the Spike Network. See you later. It's going to be turning into the Paramount Network.
Huh.
This week, Thursday. So if you're looking for to see what the folks at Spike thought about it, you can go to @Spike on Twitter, and here's what it read yesterday. Well, since I'm out of here anyway, the person who controls the Spike Twitter, I might as well tell you all the things I've been holding in for the past 18 years. Oh. Brace yourself, bros. Stuff's about to get real. Now, I will say, this person seems to be doing it tongue-in-cheek and just having a good time, but just goes on to say all sorts of things from the voice of Spike. Since it's going away in a couple of days, this person doesn't sound like they're getting brought over to the Paramount Network. But so we know, Spike going bye-bye.
Were you watching Spike at all?
No.
Yeah, I never watched it.
I think I've watched a roast or two on Spike.
It has
before.
Lip Sync Battle, Ink Master,
yes.
Bar Rescue. Love Bar Rescue.
Bar Rescue's a good show.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you'd like that, Steve.
No,
you?
I do like that show. John Taffer, he means business, man. He's like, you are over pouring on that Long Island iced tea and
that's
you're
crap!
Hemorrhaging money.
Don't listen to that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Anyway, Spike, go bye-bye.
Spikey,
later.
Go bye-bye. When we come back, we're going to tell you about songs that turn 20 this year. It's going to blow your mind. Also, Migos, new song.
Ugh.
You thought I was saying Migo Wee Wee.
Migo Wee Wee.
That's Steve's alter ego, Migo Wee Wee. All right, we'll have music news coming up momentarily on My Talk 107.1.